Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on something vital, mostly unseen, that keeps everything running, the power grid.
It really is the silent hero, isn't it?
Yeah.
Behind every light switch, every device.
Absolutely. But here's the thing, the challenge. We're shifting fast towards renewables, wind, solar, you know. It's great, but it brings, well, new complexities. Grid stability becomes trickier.
Yeah, things can change incredibly fast. Milliseconds, literally.
So how do operators keep the power on when things are that dynamic? That's what we're exploring. We're diving into two really cutting-edge solutions, wide area monitoring, protection and control, WOMPAC for short, and its evolution, early warning and early prevention, or EW.
That's right. You can think of these systems as giving the grid advanced senses. A nervous system, almost.
A nervous system, okay.
Yeah, it's about seeing potential problems before they get out of hand and acting super fast.
Yeah.
It's moving from just reacting to, well, being genuinely proactive.
Got it. So our mission today is to unpack what these systems are, why they're so essential now, and how they're shaping, you know, a greener energy future. We'll look at real examples, too, like Energinet in Denmark.
Yep, they're doing some interesting work.
Okay, let's unpack this. So WOMPAC first. It sounds a bit technical.
It is, a little. But essentially, it's about technologies, methods that let operators monitor the grid over a really wide area.
Like across regions.
Exactly. And then, crucially, trigger protective or corrective actions when something's off.
Okay, and how do they do that monitoring?
The key technology here is the PMU. That's a phaser measurement unit. Think of them as super advanced sensors.
Not your standard meter, then.
Definitely not. They don't just measure how much electricity is flowing, but also its timing, its direction, the phase angle, you could say. And they do this at many points, all perfectly synchronized using GPS time.
Wow. Okay. Synchronized.
Yes. That synchronization is vital. It gives operators this incredibly precise, real-time snapshot of the grid's electrical heartbeat across huge distances, like seeing the whole picture at once.
And that speed and precision, that's the difference maker.
It really is. Traditional SCADA systems, the older tech, they update maybe every 4 to 10 seconds.
Which sounds fast, but...
In grid terms, it can be an eternity. WOMPAC samples data maybe 30, 50 times per second or even faster.
Wow.
So that higher resolution lets WOMPAC spot these subtle, fast-developing issues that SCADA might just miss entirely. Things that could lead to big problems.
Like what kind of issues?
Well, things like inter-area oscillations. That's where large parts of the grid start swinging out of sync, almost like a power tug of war. Or voltage instability, where the electrical pressure suddenly drops.
Okay, those sound bad.
They can be catastrophic, potentially leading to blackouts if not caught.
Hmm.
And with more renewables, which are inherently more variable, you get more uncertainty, more potential for these fast stability challenges.
So WOMPAC is needed now more than ever because the grid itself is changing.
Precisely. These synchronized measurements, the PMU data, they reflect the grid's increasingly complex behavior. They're not just nice to have anymore. They are, frankly, a necessity for observing and controlling the grid reliably in this energy transition era.
It really sounds like WOMPAC gives operators that critical situational awareness, seeing things with much more clarity. Does it let them act faster, too?
Absolutely. It's not just about seeing. WOMPAC allows for automated closed-loop controls. Systems that can react automatically in fractions of a second to stabilize things.
Automatically, without human intervention.
In some cases, yes.
Yeah.
For the fastest threats. So WOMPAC is really becoming a cornerstone for managing these modern, green, distributed power systems where things happen fast and across large areas. It's like the grid's getting its own reflexes.
Okay, so we get the what and the why, but how does this actually work day to day? How does WOMPAC act on the grid?
Well, its capabilities kind of fall into a few buckets. First, there's real-time operator guidance. Right, helping the humies in the control room.
Exactly. WOMPAC tools can flag emerging issues maybe 5 to 15 minutes out. Not just a generic alarm, but clear alerts, sometimes with suggested actions. Like, hey, damping on this oscillation is getting low.
Providing that crucial heads up.
Then you have the automatic control actions. This is where the speed really counts.
Yeah. Faster than any human could react.
There are sort of two tiers. You've got sub-second automated protection reacting in less than half a second for critical events.
Blazing fast.
And then slightly slower, fast control via the existing SCADA or energy management systems, maybe within a minute, for things like adjusting power dispatch. These automatic actions are really key to stopping problems from cascading.
Preventing those widespread blackouts we sometimes hear about.
And it doesn't stop there. After an event, all that detailed PMU data is gold for post-event analysis, figuring out exactly what happened, why it happened, and how to prevent it next time.
Learning from incidents, improving the system.
And then long-term, the archive data helps with planning studies, figuring out where to strengthen the grid over months and years.
It really covers the whole life cycle, from immediate reaction to long-term planning. And in the control room, operators get specific tools built on this data.
Like what?
Things like dedicated oscillation monitoring displays, tools that track the voltage phase angle differences across regions, which indicates stress and overall voltage stability indices.
So numbers and graphs that give them a quick read on grid health.
Exactly. Energinet and other Nordic TSOs, for example, use WAM wide area monitoring to watch these inner area oscillations in their interconnected grid. They get an alarm if an oscillation isn't damping out properly.
And that phase angle difference you mentioned.
Yeah, if the angle difference between two distant points on the grid gets too large, it's a strong early warning sign of stress. It tells operators the system is stretched, potentially nearing its limit, well before anything drastic happens.
That seems incredibly valuable. And the bigger picture here, the overall benefit.
The big benefit is allowing TSOs, the transmission system operators, to run the grid more efficiently, closer to its limits, but safely.
How does that work?
Well, think about it. If you can detect instability brewing much earlier, and you have automated controls ready to act instantly,
you don't need such a huge safety buffer.
Exactly. You don't need as large a safety margin built in. That means you can potentially integrate more renewable energy onto the grid or transfer more power between regions, all without compromising security. It boosts efficiency and helps renewables.
That's a huge enabler for the energy transition.
It definitely is. And this capability ties into something called SUPS, System Integrity Protection Schemes, or sometimes RAS, Remedial Action Schemes.
Okay, more acronyms.
Yes, sorry. But they're important. SIPS basically use that wide area WAMPAC data to coordinate protective actions across the grid.
But not just local protection.
No, system-wide. If something big happens, like a major line trips, a SEPPS might automatically trigger a pre-planned sequence. Maybe trip another line elsewhere, shed a specific block of load, or adjust generation output, all coordinated to stop a cascade.
A coordinated automated defense plan.
That's a good way to put it. And they are absolutely crucial for safeguarding reliability across the whole interconnected system.
With systems this critical making automatic decisions, testing must be rigorous. How do they build confidence?
Oh, absolutely. Extensive testing is key. There are examples, like a lab-scale WAMPAC demo researcher set up.
What did they do?
They connected real protection devices, the kind used in substations, to a sophisticated real-time simulator that perfectly mimics grid behavior.
So testing real hardware against a virtual grid.
Exactly. And they tested two things. First, detecting those grid oscillations and automatically triggering a remedial action to damp them out. Second, they compared different ways to use PMU data for wide area line protection, basically, detecting faults on long lines faster and more accurately.
And did it work?
Yeah, the experiments confirmed these WAMPAC solutions can work as designed. It really underscores the need for thorough lab testing before you even think about putting these things into the live grid. You need that confidence.
Okay, so WAMPAC is the grid's new eyes and reflexes. What about EWEP, early warning, early prevention? You said that's the next leap.
Right. If WAMPAC is about seeing and reacting fast, EWEP is about anticipating, seeing into the future in a way.
Seeing problems before they even start.
Pretty much. It extends WAMPAC into a truly proactive strategy. It's about predicting potential issues and stepping in early enough to prevent them from becoming major incidents at all.
How does that break down, early warning and early prevention?
So early warning is like getting an alert well before things go critical. For example, the system flags that a voltage stability margin is shrinking or an oscillation mode is trending badly long before a collapse is imminent.
Giving operators significant lead time.
Exactly. And early prevention is having the countermeasures ready automated actions or predefined procedures that kick in as soon as that warning is confirmed, heading off the crisis before it even starts.
That sounds like a major step up. Is this happening now?
Well, there's significant research and development. A flagship effort was the NEWEPS project, Nordic Early Warning Early Prevention System, ran from 2020 to 2024.
Focused on the Nordic grid.
Yes. The goal was to boost reliability and efficiency across the interconnected Nordic system, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, by developing coordinated WAMS and WAMPAC solutions. The big vision is a common Nordic monitoring and control system. Makes sense given how tightly linked they are.
What came out of NewEPS? Any key takeaways?
Several important ones. On architecture, they strongly advocated for an integrated approach across the different TSOs, sharing data and using common services.
Working together, essentially.
Right. Data quality was another huge point, absolutely critical if you're automating decisions based on it. They also looked into whether TSOs should use common or separate state estimators, the software that calculates the grid's condition. More work needed there.
And the controls.
For WOMPAC control schemes, they highlighted the complexity of managing these flexible distributed controls and stressed the need for unified requirements and, critically, a really robust communication network between the TSOs.
Makes sense. Communication is key.
And finally, visualization and human factors. With all this data, how do you present it effectively? They emphasize the need for intuitive dashboards showing stability margins, oscillation modes, maybe stress maps, so operators can build trust in the system and make fast, informed decisions without being overwhelmed.
That human element is crucial. Did they build anything to test these ideas?
They did. They developed a new NewEPS test and demonstration platform. It used modern tech like Kafka for streaming data, pulled in real PMU data alongside simulated data.
Mixing real and virtual again.
Yep. And it had a graphical interface for operators could issue alarms. And importantly, it supported that coordinated communication between neighboring TSOs. It showed how this cross-border collaboration could actually work.
What about specific applications developed within NewEPS? Anything particularly advanced?
Yeah, they pushed the boat out on a few things. Improved voltage stability monitoring using a new index called SSI. Think of it like a more sensitive stress meter for voltage collapse.
Giving an earlier, clearer warning.
Exactly. Also, enhanced oscillation monitoring using another index, SSI, to better track those inter-area modes. And they developed a clever method using ARMA models. It's a type of analysis to specifically detect forced oscillations.
Forced oscillations, what are those?
Those are oscillations caused by faulty equipment somewhere, rather than the natural dynamics of the grid itself. It's important to distinguish them so operators aren't chasing ghosts.
I see. But the really exciting part sounds like the prevention side.
I agree. The automated prevention actions. NewEPS developed a module for contingency analysis and corrective action.
How does that work?
It's constantly running in the background. It scans the current state of the grid and simulates what-if scenarios.
Hmm.
What if this major line trips? What if that generator goes offline?
Running simulations continuously.
Yes. And based on those simulations, it calculates and optimizes a set of corrective actions needed to keep the system secure if that contingency were to happen.
So it pre-plans the emergency response.
Precisely. So if a specific event actually occurs, the system effectively already knows the best countermeasures and can deploy them almost instantly. It's like having a pre-calculated safety net ready to catch you.
Wow. That sounds like it could massively improve security while maybe even letting them run the grid closer to the edge.
That's the potential, yes. Improve security and allow higher grid utilization simultaneously.
Now let's connect this back to Energinet, the Danish TSO. All this research seems highly relevant for them.
Oh, absolutely. Denmark's grid has a huge amount of wind power, so managing variability is key. Plus, they're tightly interconnected with the rest of the Nordics and Germany. These tools are perfect for their situation.
And they've been involved in this area for a while, right?
They have. Energinet was part of an earlier project called ESSO Secure Operation of Sustainable Power Systems back in 2012-2016.
ESSO's PO.
Yeah, that project was already looking ahead, trying to figure out how to operate a future grid securely with lots of renewables. It really anticipated the need for these new real-time stability assessment and control methods that WOMPAC and EWIP provide.
So ESSO PO laid the groundwork.
In many ways, yes. It developed early warning and action techniques and even built a simulation platform, the ESSO PO SP, for testing. And today, Energinet isn't just researching this stuff. They already operate a WAMS, a wide area monitoring system.
They have PMUs deployed.
Dozens of them. They use them already for monitoring those cross-border oscillations we talked about and for detecting other issues like subsynchronous oscillations or voltage instability in near real time. They're actively using this tech now.
So for Energinet, the next step seems clear. Implementing more automated controls and plugging into a wider Nordic EW system.
That's the logical path, yes. Sharing their PMU data and grid status information with Norway, Sweden, Finland, getting that common operational picture.
And coordinating responses?
Critically, yes.
Yeah.
Agreeing on coordinated remedial action schemes so that if there's a major disturbance affecting the whole region, the response is unified and effective. It really has to be a collaborative effort.
But it can't be simple. What are the big challenges, the main recommendations for TSOs like EnergyNet wanting to fully adopt WOMPAC and UWIP?
It's definitely not plug and play. There's a whole list of things. First, you need the basic infrastructure. Invest in deploying enough PMUs and ensure you have robust high-speed communication systems. That's foundational.
Get the sensors and the pipes in place.
Right. Then integrate WAM into the actual control room operations. Develop useful decision support tools, those real-time dashboards we mentioned, clear early warning alarms. Make it usable for the operators.
Okay.
Implementing the automated wide area controls needs to be done carefully, progressively. You test them extensively in labs, run pilot projects, build confidence step by step.
Can't rush that.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
And as we said, coordination and data sharing between TSOs is vital. Agreeing on common methods, alarm criteria, control actions. Because grid problems don't care about borders.
True. What else?
Data quality and cybersecurity are huge, non-negotiable. You need rigorous data validation, quality checks, filtering out bad data, and the systems must be secure.
Makes sense. Communication networks.
Need upgrading. Dedicated high-speed channels are essential. Some are even looking at things like deterministic networking, using technologies like SDN, software-defined networking, to guarantee low, predictable latency for critical control signals.
It's pretty edge stuff.
It is. And don't forget the operator interaction. Intuitive visualization, proper training are key to avoid overwhelming staff and ensure they use the tools effectively.
Keep the human in the loop effectively.
Exactly. Architecturally, it's best to adopt a flexible modular platform. Something scalable that can host different applications and easily add new ones later, maybe even AI algorithms down the line.
Future-proofing it.
And finally, continue the R&D. Participate in research, pilot projects. Explore new protection strategies, new ways to optimize corrective actions, to maybe push network transfer capacity even higher, safely. Embracing all this, it's going to be fundamental for navigating the energy transition in the coming decades while keeping the lights on, especially for forward-looking TSOs like EnergyNet.
So wrapping up this deep dive, it feels like WOMPAC and EDUP mark a really profound shift, don't they?
Absolutely.
It's moving away from just reacting when something breaks towards actively anticipating and preventing problems, all to keep things running smoothly, even as the grid gets way more complex with all the renewables.
That's the essence of it. These technologies enable a much more proactive and resilient way to manage the grid. Operators get continuous awareness of stability. Automated systems are ready to jump in within split seconds. It really does pave the way for a more reliable, sustainable energy future.
It really does. And that leaves us with a final thought to ponder. As we lean more and more on these invisible high-speed nervous systems for our critical power infrastructure, what other complex systems out there could benefit from this kind of dynamic awareness and self-correction? And maybe, how will this increasingly silent, intelligent infrastructure change our fundamental relationship with the essential services we rely on every single day?